Welcome to Renzo Republic.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the one, the only Remso Republic podcast. I'm your host, as always, Remso W. Martinez. Go ahead and do me a quick favor. Go ahead and follow me on Twitter at Remso101. That's R-E-M-S-O-101. Welcome back to the show. If you're a longtime listener to the East Coast number one source for political news and commentary, coming to you from the one and only Commonwealth of Virginia. If you're a new listener, listen well, because we have one mission here that we try and do outstandingly each and every episode. It's definitely a ripoff, totally cheesy, but bear with me and you might learn to love it. It's this: make freedom fun again. That's making freedom fun again. The ideas of individual liberty, free markets, limited government, the concept, the very, very simple concept that you do you, I do me, we don't use the government as a violent middleman, and we could live, I don't know, peacefully and prosperously. Common sense thinking, I know, for many of you listening, but for most in our society, that is a radical concept. And when it comes to how you interact with your government, I mean, this is a, I mean, what a time to be alive. What a time to be alive. Everyone has an opinion. Not all opinions are right, but everyone has an opinion, most certainly. And when it comes to the things that the fake news media is ignoring, it's instead of wondering whether or not our president had an affair with a porn star, whether he had two scoops of ice cream and other fake news, there's actually something going on in my neck of the woods that will, I'm, without a doubt, if I was a betting man, I'd bet everything on this. This is going to be the race that really is going to be the focus for a large portion of the country, because what we have here in the 6th Congressional District of Virginia is a gentleman known as Bob Goodlatte, or as I like to call him, the man I usually ride in my own name against when I used to live in Lynchburg, because he's been there since the dawn of humanity. And, you know, for good or for bad, he's been there for years. He's had, decades of public service. He's one of the most influential Republicans in the House of Representatives. And in the last several months, he said he was stepping down. And with that, you have a large number of Republicans, you know, not as many as the GOP presidential primary, where it's like everyone and their grandmother was jumping in, but you have a large number of very well-qualified men and women jumping in to try and carry on, not necessarily Congressman Goodlatte's legacy, but a new vision of where they see today's Republican Party. And I'm so glad to have our guest on today. She's a very renowned conservative activist here in the Commonwealth of Virginia. Republicans, if you don't know her, write her name down, because you're going to hear about her very often, very soon. Ladies and gentlemen, Ms. Cynthia Dunbar. Ma'am, welcome to the program. It's great to have you on.
Oh, it's great to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
So for folks that are wondering, oh my gosh, another person wants to go ahead and jump in this primary. Who is this? Why should I care? Tell us a little bit about yourself. How did you get to this point where you woke up one morning and said, you know, I think I'm actually going to try and be the next congressman from the 6th District of Virginia?
Well, actually, I didn't have that epiphany. I have been heavily recruited by people within the 6th District. When I won in 2016 as a national committee woman to the RNC, it was kind of an upset because I was not a political insider. I was certainly not part of the establishment. I was not part of the elected elite. I just messaged to the people the common sense types of things that you're always saying, limited government, greater liberty, and it really resonated. And because of that, I was successful, and I did go to the 2016 convention, sat on the platform committee on the Constitution Subcommittee, because that's one of my loves and passions, because I believe we do have a constitution of enumerated powers. Limited government makes absolute sense. Not only that, it's an absolute constitutional necessity. But that message resonated, and so for the last year, I have had people up and down the 6th District coming to me, begging me, will you please consider running and being our voice? So this was a long thought out process for me of really analyzing the cost that it would be for me and for my family to step into this. But I do feel like we have a window in time right now, and I am just a true believer in our constitutional republic, and I'm a seasoned fighter, if nothing else. And I feel like right now that's what we need in Washington are fighters. We don't need the same tame, patient political politics of the past.
I completely agree with you. And, you know, coming from my end, I hear a lot of people mention that when they're running for office. We need a fighter. We need somebody that can actually go through and be a leader in certain areas. And the thing that completely shocked me about you is you recently got an endorsement from somebody I consider my personal hero. He's been on the show, folks. He'll be on our season finale for season 4 over in May, Dr. Ron Paul. That is insane. I didn't think he endorsed people anymore.
Well, he doesn't very often, and I am extremely proud of that endorsement, because if you know Dr. Paul at all, which I have had the privilege of getting to know him, he has supported me in basically all of my political endeavors, which first started in Texas, which is where we got to meet, got to know each other personally. He's an amazing man. He's brilliant. He has so much integrity, and he doesn't make those endorsements lightly. Actually, it's a very detailed process, and his staff will even tell you that, you know, he vets it, and then he prays for weeks, and so those don't come out very frequently, and I am extremely honored to have his support and his endorsement.
Exactly, because if there's one man that people can, I mean, no one can ever call Dr. Paul inconsistent. I mean, right. That word just doesn't apply to him. It seems that, you know, for the most part, I'm always looking for those Liberty Republicans, those Ron Paulistas, so to speak. And, you know, I had the great privilege of getting to work on Congressman Tom Garrett's campaign. I love Virginia because we make up a good chunk of the Freedom Caucus. I mean, it seems like we're in a strange position in the Republican Party because, you know, you look at the factionalism and it might as well be, you know, a Reddit forum chat where it's just 20 million different people talking 20 million different languages trying to get to the same conclusion on something. When it comes to the Republican Party today, one question that many people have been asking me, good, bad, or indifferent, is, you know, I see a lot of people trying to say that they're doing the best for the people, that they're trying to represent their overall constituency. But what they don't often hear enough of is something that is incredibly passionate to them. It's something that they really do value. It's understanding, are we a party that advances liberty, or are we a party that's simply trying to, you know, take control of this airplane that's about to crash into a mountain, and our excuse is, oh, well, we'll just do it better than the Democrats. When it comes to the Republican Party, do you feel that we're doing a positive job when it comes to advancing these freedom ideals, or do you think there are areas that we've obviously slacked on?
Huge slacking going on in a lot of areas, and that was why I got recruited to run for National Committee Woman in the first place, is the people who came to me, they're like, Cynthia, it's time for you to dust off your boxing gloves and get back in the ring, because our party, if we don't save our party, where are we going? And the problem is, you know, we always want to cast aspersions at the Democrats and call them socialist. But if you look at many in the Republican Party, they are equally big government socialist as well. And so I think going back to, and this is why I love what Dr. Paul did, is actually taking us back to an understanding of the Constitution. And if you really look at it and see that this is not to be a huge national government, there's not supposed to be all this preemption. There is still the 10th Amendment reserving the bulk of the authority to the states and the people, and that the only part that the government's supposed to oversee is, you know, those enumerated powers. And how they've utilized, you know, the General Welfare Clause and the Necessary Proper Clause does actual violence to the Constitution. And so it's something that we are going to have to make extreme changes, change the narrative by debates on the floor, and be willing to basically gore a lot of oxes, so to speak, which most politicians don't want to do, because they are always concerned with trying to make as many people happy with them, because their ultimate goal at the end of the day is getting reelected, not actually serving the people and doing their job.
So when it comes to the field of Republicans that you're competing against for the nomination, you're going up against a current member of the House of Delegates, a lawyer, and I forgot what the others do. I lost count. When it comes to this, I mean, I really like what you're saying, and I've had the pleasure of speaking to several of the others, and I feel that, you know, the Republican Party will have a strong candidate at the end of the day to go ahead and represent the 6th District. But when it comes to the things that make you a stronger candidate, someone that can actually take it to the general, and once you get to Congress, make as much of a difference as possible, what do you think are some characteristics that separate you from the others currently running?
Well, I mean, on the day that I announced, you know, I got hit by liberal groups that know to fear me. I have a reputation of being very effective. I have a reputation of not being afraid to weigh into, you know, various issues. And I not only message on it, the effectiveness that first, you know, came about that made the liberal media hate me so much was while I served on the Texas State Board of Education, I wasn't just making a lot of noise. I was making sure that I had the requisite votes to push things through. And so when we started getting the movement in the direction that we needed to go, all of a sudden, I'm being hit by the New York Times, the Washington Post, the Huffington Post, you name it, even the London Guardian.
What?
And so, oh yeah, London Guardian. And talk about, Renzo, talk about fake news citing fake news. I'll just give you an example. New York Times comes down where we were dealing with history standards, and they had some ridiculous, these educational experts had put something in there about Thomas Jefferson, French Enlightenment philosopher with Voltaire. And so I simply took him out of that, removed him, added in other philosophers like Blackstone, Locke, Montesquieu, the ones that actually impacted the American Revolution, and moved Thomas Jefferson over to the political philosophies of the founding fathers. Makes sense, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not what the New York Times prints. New York Times prints that Dunbar removes Thomas Jefferson because she hates him because of separation of church and state. And that gets reprinted every couple of years for them to try to justify their hatred of me. So it really is fake news citing fake news. And I actually now wear this as a badge of honor. The fact that all of these big liberal bastions of fake news are constantly coming after me is proof they're scared of me. And I think that's good, because they should be, because I'm not going up there to play games. I'm going up there to do what I do, which is get in, change the narrative, get things done, get out. I have already promised that if I am elected, I will only serve 3 terms, so 6 years max.
You see, that alone, how can anyone argue with that? Because it seems that when it comes to the idea of term limits, it's something that people, they don't even try and give lip service to it. They either say, oh, no, I'll let the people go ahead and decide when I leave, or they commit and they just, I mean, they don't even put a number to it. So that alone, with everything else you mentioned, that's pretty hardcore. I mean, much respect for that. Much respect for that. Cynthia, we're going to go ahead and cut to our commercial break real fast. But before we do that, quick word from our sponsor this half hour. What if I told you you can go ahead and grow your money overnight while you slept? Sound too good to be true? No. It's real, and it's here. And you can learn more about it today at joinhelium.com and let your money grow for you while you sleep. It's joinhelium.com, J-O-I-N-H-E-L-E-U-M, joinhelium.com. I'm Remsa W. Martinez with the Remsa Republic. Hang on tight. We'll be right back after this.
Join the Remsa Republic on Patreon today.
Hey, that's really good.
Take the show on the go by subscribing to the Remsa Republic on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, TuneIn, Google Play, and YouTube. Don't be left out.
I get to talk about topics that people don't like to talk about. The things they shy away from because of my political correctness. They don't want to be seen as bigoted, racist, whatever you want to call it. I honestly don't care.
This is the Unapologetic Podcast. Tune in every Monday for your weekly dose of current affairs from an unapologetic perspective.
Hello, my name is Alex Merced, and I am a libertarian. I invite you to join me in spreading the message of liberty. Come down to alexmerced.com, where you can find videos and lots of other media to help educate you about liberty and more. I've also created learneconomicsnow.com as a quick way to show anyone the basics about economics. libertarian101.com, a great starting place to learn what is libertarianism, how to get involved, and how to move things forward. Intro to liberty.com, where you can learn more about how to spread the message of liberty through positive messaging from people like myself, Larry Sharp, and Michael Pickens. And don't forget libertarianpodcast.com, where you can find an exhaustive list of libertarian podcasts for you to enjoy. This is Alex Merced. Follow me on social media such as Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Pinterest, and more. And thank you very much.
Hey guys, Tim Preuss here, and I wanted to take a minute and invite you to stop over to PreussPodcast.com and give our show a listen. We've got in-depth commentary on the issues that matter to you.
These hookers. Fucking whores are out there.
These hookers, man, I tell you.
Yeah, that's like the most contact I've had with the hooker.
It's them yelling at you.
Them yelling at me at Twitter.
We break down the most pressing issues of our time.
This what? Large lady with, like, tight clothing on. Not appropriately linked tight clothing either.
And we get the most intelligent analysis from friends of ours like Jeffrey Tucker.
We pulled over engine trouble and what happened? I don't know.
Seriously though, we love putting on a show that both entertains and educates. We're growing and we'd be thrilled if you joined us. Check out PreussPodcast.com for more. That's P-R-E-U-S-S podcast.com.
Folks, welcome back to the program. We're continuing our conversation from earlier. So I kind of swooned for a second because you mentioned one of my favorite things, term limits. This is one of those areas that I've always been kind of, I'm not going to say neutral on it. I've just always thought that there are many different ways to go about it. You know, looking at it from, you know, the perspective of the people should have an opportunity to choose who goes and who doesn't go. Why do you think Republicans aren't as united on this issue? Because it seems that, you know, you look at, you know, some of the standard bearers for the liberty side of the party, Senator Ted Cruz, Senator Rand Paul, Mike Lee, they all have said we need term limits for members of the House of Representatives and the Senate. But you have others, and I mean, this is one of the reasons why I really was not a fan of Congressman Goodlatte, is he was there forever. And this is just my opinion, folks. It's just mine. It's like he would, you know, increase spending, increase warrantless surveillance, all these civil liberty crushing bills. And then when it was election time, he'd go ahead and just pass a few things and talk about the massive accomplishments he had. Why do you think term limits is so important? And why are you willing to stand on that three-term pledge?
Well, it is important because what happens is we have people get in there. And I really think the epidemic problem with our country are career politicians in both parties, because career politicians have a conflict of interest. They may actually believe the things that they say they stand for, but at the end of the day, the thing they're most passionate about is keeping themselves in office, going to higher committee appointments, getting reelected. And so that puts them at odds with being willing to go hardcore forward for the benefit of the constituents that they serve. So I really think we have to have a drastic change as how we view that. And what people will say with seniority, and actually what Congressman Goodlatte argued, was, well, I know I promised only serve so many terms, but then I got to be the chairman of the Ag Commission and building on up. And even some of the constituents will say, you know, well, he's got these high positions. The problem that I see is twofold. One, many times to get those high positions, you have to have developed a pattern of compromise with Republican leadership in order to get there, and that's problematic on several levels. The other reason is because when people say, well, you know, because they've got seniority, they can bring more money back home and all of that. Okay, that's wrong on so many different levels because, you wouldn't even constitutionally have the basis to do that in the first place. And second of all, if you're only doing the allocation of dollars on the basis of seniority, that's super messed up. I mean, why would we defend a position like that? So by going really hardcore and saying, look, this is wrong, I absolutely will stand up and promote term limits to be, you know, passed as a constitutional amendment. But I'm doing it myself as 3 terms, 6 years, because this should never be called Congressman Goodlatte's district or Congressman XYZ's district. It belongs to the people of the 6th district. And I met a lot of really great people in the 6th district, and this doesn't need to become a Cynthia Dunbar monarchy. When I step down in 6 years, someone else can step up and keep control, you know, soundly in the hands of the people. And it also tells them, look, you've only got 6 years with me. I'm hard hitting. I'm going to go in. I'm going to make changes. But champion this for me so that I can get as much done in that time. Because at the end of 6 years, I'm not seeking reelection. And I've even told the committee, you know, whether the Incumbent Protection Act gets removed or not, I will never select my process of nomination. I will always allow the people to choose how they're going to nominate this particular seat.
That does make a lot of sense. And I can definitely know a large number of people in my audience are, you know, they're definitely on board with that. In terms of, you know, something you mentioned earlier, which is incredibly important, is, you know, when you know you've got a deadline, you tend to work a little bit harder. When you know there's a certain amount of space that you have to operate in to be as effective as possible, amazing things can get done. In terms of some of the actual policy that you're passionate about and you think that your constituents want to see implemented at the federal level, what are some of the areas of policy that you feel that you can actually, you know, make as much of a difference in as possible?
Well, you know, I mentioned that I'm a constitutional purist and talking about how it's a document of enumerated powers. One of the things that we've had that has been so oppressive is that unconstitutional fourth branch of government that Trump has talked a lot about. I mean, you have to drain the swamp. And he's done a lot to pull back administrative control using the Congressional Review Act more than any other president since Reagan. The problem is, because we have so many people, you know, that think it's okay for presidents to do executive orders and different things to push stuff through, if you change an administration, all of that can change overnight. It can flood back in unless there's some kind of stopgate process in place. As soon as I got on the RNC, I started working on some policy resolutions and got it approved through the White House as a policy initiative, and that is promoting the Regulation Freedom Amendment. And what the Regulation Freedom Amendment would do is it would, novel idea, take legislative authority out of the hands of the bureaucrats and put it back squarely in the hands of Congress where it should be, where if a quarter of the House or the Senate flagged any regulation, it would die. It wouldn't see the light of day. So it would keep anyone, I don't care what administration we have in place, from just flooding all of this regulatory control back. I think if we start having meaningful conversations on things like this, on actively shrinking government, on finding areas where we can just abolish it. You know, Thomas Massie has the bill right now to sunset and abolish the Department of Education. Absolutely.
Oh my gosh,
why not?
I went wild when he proposed that. It was like an early Christmas.
Absolutely. And I've already been in touch with them and said, look, not only will I co-sponsor it, I will stand on the floor and I will absolutely give a huge speech about what I encountered firsthand as far as the problems that we're having with educational policy and why in the world would you do this from the top down through the federal government. They need to get rid of it immediately. And what that would do is going to be twofold, because not only does it get rid of an unnecessary unconstitutional agency, but it starts the process of, okay, one down, how many more to go? Let's get rid of it and just keep chipping away. So those would be the types of things I would be working on tirelessly.
That's outstanding. When it comes to some of the other issues from your constituents, as you've been traveling around the district, what are some of the local issues that matter to them that often get ignored when it, you know, comes to taking it to Washington?
Well, and I'll be honest, I have learned that to be a good leader, you have to listen a lot. And that is something that I hope to learn more about specific issues. But because I have limited myself to 6 years, because I do feel like right now we have a limited moment in time to actually actively shrink government and change the narrative, those are going to be my primary efforts and my concentration. But as I go around the district, I'm totally open to having people, you know, approach me. I'm a very approachable person, and take all of that into consideration. But the one thing I will say up front so that everyone knows is I am truly a constitutional purist. So even if they have needs and legitimate needs, if they're not something that should fall within the purview of the federal government, I'm going to be sending you to your state legislators.
Understood. Makes perfect sense. Completely fair. So, ma'am, I've got to let you go, but we've got about, a minute left. For folks at home that are wondering in your district, okay, should I go ahead and support this person? Can she be the next congressman from the 6th District? What's your final pitch to those folks? And you've covered a lot of information, but, you know, just that bring it home message, so
right.
to speak.
So absolutely. The fact that the liberal media is mainly hitting me and only me in this race, the fact that they're trying to sell a narrative that I'm the only one that's hard right enough that I could actually lose the district, proves once again their disconnect with the district. This is the most conservative district in the Commonwealth by far. If you get a red meat hardcore Republican nominated, their ratings and their election results will be probably higher than what they have been in the past. And the gubernatorial election was like 61-39. So absolutely, not only can I win, I can win with a sweeping victory. I can be up there and be a strong voice for the people of the six and for across the nation as a whole. And so my website is dunbarforcongress.com. Twitter is Cynthia N. Dunbar, and I would appreciate you following me. We have lots of upcoming announcements and endorsements and different news coming out of the campaign. We are really rolling with high-level grassroots support and excitement, and we would love to have you join the team to take back our not only our 6th District, but our republic.
Cynthia, thank you so much for joining the program. I mean, you and I definitely see eye to eye on almost everything we discussed. And, you know, best of luck going forward. And, you know, thank you so much again.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on. And thank you for what you do.
Folks, I'll go ahead and let you go without the usual long, sappy monologue I try and give. I will give you a pitch, though. Go ahead and get exclusive content, swag, and more at patreon.com/RemsoRepublic. And you can get the exclusive show notes and everything else regarding this episode at RemsoRepublic.com. As always, you know, leave us a 5-star rating and review. Help us get on those trending charts again. We were able to reach number 25 in news and politics in 2017 for several days. I mean, it was insanity. But it was only because of your support. Invite your friends, family, your liberal cousin, your Marxist aunt, all that jazz. And as always, be good to your neighbor. Go home, you know, go out and treat yourself a bit. And tune in next week, America. I'm Remster W. Martinez. Good night.
Stay up to date with the latest news and updates by visiting
RemsoRepublic.com.
Hey, this is Lloyd Bailey, the Armed Lutheran, host of the Armed Lutheran Radio Podcast, reminding you that the podcast you're listening to is a proud member of the Self-Defense Radio Network. Check out all the great content at selfdefenseradio.net.